Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, here as always with David Ramil, and we're doing a bonus podcast, a quick reaction, immediate reaction pod to Chris Bosh's documentary on Uninterrupted, where he talks about his recovery and the whole process, as well as his Facebook Live Q&A, which just concluded as we started recording this podcast. So we're going to start with the Uninterrupted documentary, which was about 7 minutes long, and it's the first part of a series that Bosh directed and produced himself, along with Maverick Carter, who we all know as LeBron James's right-hand man and now NBA mogul type guy. But the documentary for Uninterrupted specifically was very enlightening and offered some new specifics and some interesting quotes from Chris Bosh about his recovery and towards the end about his relationship with the Miami Heat. What were your immediate thoughts, David, on the doc?
Confusing. I was confused by it. I was disheartened, I think, and I'm not quite sure where to feel, because I think I tweeted about it earlier that, you know, it left me feeling very awkward as far as my standing and, you know, whether or not, and I think a lot of Heat fans feel the same way, because you're not quite sure who to quote unquote root for in a situation like this, because it's been so difficult. You know, there's been such a lack of communication, and I think we're seeing a lot of anger directed towards Chris Bosh. As far as the video itself is concerned, you know, 6.5 minutes, as you pointed out, you know, pretty well produced, you know, high quality, and you know, stemming from an idea that, you know, as he mentioned in his Facebook conversation, that a friend told him, you know, you should record this, and he wants to be able to tweet it. I mean, or record it in his eyes, through his eyes, and through his honest lens of the whole process. You know, you kind of need to take a step back here, because, you know, there's so much going on. And, you know, obviously you and I have talked about on a number of occasions ever since he re-signed with the team in 2014, how much hope he gave the Heat franchise in a very, you know, turbulent summer with LeBron departing and all of a sudden the future of the team on the brink of imminent collapse. And it was salvaged by Bosh's decision to re-sign here. But in context, a couple of years later, you see that maybe his agent, Henry Thomas, may have held the franchise hostage there, forcing them to sign him at a rather, you know, lucrative deal that, unfortunately, due to injury, he hasn't been able to live up to. There's the fact that, you know, there's a slightly contentious relationship building between Bosh and the franchise. You know, he hasn't been able to play regularly. His health has been questioned, obviously, and there's just so much. There's so many different layers to that it's difficult to take it all in and kind of break it down immediately.
Well, let's try, because there's this quote that just stands out in that documentary for Uninterrupted. Bosh says, "They told me that my season was over. My career is probably over." And this is when he went back from the hospital and this last season to talk with Miami Heat team doctors. And yeah, this is just what happened. This is how it is. I felt right away that I was written off, just put to the side matter-of-factly.
That's tough.
When he says that, I mean, you can – the quote is one thing, but then when he actually says it in the documentary, you can really feel how, like, frustrated he was with that and just how almost hurt he was by that. And this isn't Mickey Arison and Pat Riley coming down and being like, this is how it is, dude. This is the Heat doctors. I mean, you know, these are – doctors, I mean, bedside manner and everything like that. Who knows what they're like? But at the same time, it's the Heat organization. And ever since then, you can tell that there hasn't been a lot of communication on their end, and probably for legal reasons. But that's got to be frustrating for Chris Bosh. And according to Barry Jackson, the Miami Herald, he expected to be cleared this week, maybe even in time for this documentary to come out. and make it maybe more of a heroic, triumphant type of thing, more than how you said earlier, you're feeling like a little, you know, disillusioned with it, or you know, a little almost heartbroken with it. And instead, the Heat haven't cleared him to play. So now this documentary comes out, and a lot of people are I think, siding with ownership. I think there's been a little bit of a backlash on Chris Bosh just based on Twitter this morning and right. everything like that. And, you know, it's hard to take either side on this because, for me, I can really see where both sides come from. For Bosh, he wants to play, right? And he wants to play so bad that he's really willing to risk his life to get back on the court. But for the Heat, they see that, and on one hand, you could say, well, they're protecting Chris Bosh. On the other, you could say they're protecting themselves against a lawsuit or, you know, whatever that might be. And it's really hard to take a stand on either side because you can really see where both sides are coming from.
Yeah, and I think that's the crux of the situation there because, you know, when I saw that in context of how everybody was reacting, I guess I was a minute or two late and already the backlash on Twitter had begun. And I saw the video, you know, the first thing I took from it was, wow, there was a certain lack of empathy. You brought up the term bedside manner, and I don't think a lot of physicians are known for their good bedside manner. I think there's a problem with healthcare, the healthcare world in general, where they're kind of delivering news to something. You know, they're just they're streaming out data towards you rather than working with you and kind of, you know, building something in an empathetic manner. And I think, you know, from that perspective, you could see why he might be a little taken back and why he might have felt written off when a doctor's just standing there and saying, oh, no, you're never going to play again. And that's it. And then moving on kind of matter of factly, because they are in reality a team employee and they represent the interests of those teams, not necessarily of Chris Bosh himself. You'd like to think that there's, you know, more of a relationship there between the team and the players and the people, all employees of the team. But unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be the case, as we've seen from Dwayne Wade and others. But then you're right. Is it unfair to criticize Bosh for wanting to risk his life, especially when we might perceive that the team is doing it for altruistic reasons? Maybe, you know, if we think of Pat Riley in a grandfatherly type way saying, Chris, we don't want you to go out there and lose your life or something like that. It's just basketball. We're trying to do it to protect you. Then, sure, I can understand that perspective as to why everybody is siding with, you know, the team and everything else. But, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, that's not necessarily who Riley has been throughout his career. You know, he's been somewhat cutthroat. And we know that we've seen that time and again. So, I mean, perhaps there's that other side to it where he's just, you know, saying, okay, Chris, it's probably in your best interest not to ever step onto a court again. But let's be honest, it's also in our best interest also so that we can get that salary off the books and finally move forward. It was a mistake two seasons ago. We didn't know it at the time. It was a difficult situation for all of us. But, you know, the health issues that have come up have forced our hand, and we'd like to move on. And if you want to, sure, go ahead. That's your choice. But as far as we're concerned, we'd rather you not play for the Miami Heat again.
I don't think that's the case. I don't see Pat Riley looking at this roster and saying, we're going to be better off without Chris Bosh, or we're going to be better off without a healthy Chris Bosh. Because everything that Pat Riley and this Heat organization has done is they like to have better players, better veterans. This isn't a team that's going to tank. This isn't a team that's looking to completely dismantle and rebuild. If a healthy Chris Bosh is an option for this team, I 100% believe that Pat Riley would rather have that. He's not going to just go out and trade Goran Dragic and trade a peak Hassan Whiteside just for the case of rebuilding. That's just not how Riley works. If he thinks that there's even a small chance to get into the playoffs, and there definitely is a good chance for that he can make the playoffs if Chris Bosh is playing, then he's going to try to get Chris Bosh on the court. I went back and read some of the quotes from Pat Riley about Chris Bosh, specifically about taking blood thinners, and this was at the end of the season, and he said that it was something that they were going to look into. He said that it's something that, you know, him and Bosh and the team doctors and everything and everybody involved is going to have to look at and consider, and it just really did seem like he was, and I don't know how much of word service this was, but...
Yeah, I mean, what does that even mean, though? It's like, you know, you don't see any kind of communication going on. Like,
it wasn't as big today as he usually was. It wasn't... He did seem open to... In retrospect, he did seem open to or at least solutions oriented. It was vague, but not
it's
as
a week
wildly
before
vague.
Camp, though. It's yeah. like, you know, look, Goran Dragic came from Slovenia in the Euro Cup final to come over here and join his teammates right before training camp. They're days away from media day and the start of camp. Bosch still hasn't heard from the goddamn team. We're talking 4 or 5 days away now. It's like you're cutting it kind of close.
Absolutely. And for Chris Bosch, he's gotten so much backlash right now from the fans about why would he do this? Why would he? This is just making it worse. This is aggravating the situation. How is this even going to help him? And I can't help but wonder how frustrating this is for Chris Bosch, because like you're saying, he hasn't heard anything from the team. It's clear. There's been a lack of communication. It's been a tweet here or a statement here, and that's right. it. Or, you know, a brief mention on a team-produced video by Eric Spoelstra or something. Like, that's it.
And can we get into that for a second? Because I know that you got into a little bit of a discussion about it on Twitter. But, you know, what your feelings are about whether or not this plus what he did at the end of last season has been a months-long PR campaign for him to kind of build public support for him against the team. Is that still something that do you see that as being an ulterior purpose for this, you know, for the whole uninterrupted series?
I think that if you look back on Chris Bosch and what he's been doing with the social media blitz, trying to show off that he's working out and he's getting in shape, I definitely believe that there is a bit of this where he wants to prove that he can play, that he's in playing shape, that the only thing stopping him from getting on the court is the Miami Heat clearing him medically to do so. Definitely think he's trying to drum up the fan support in favor of him to get back on the court. And a lot of people, and as you alluded to, there are a lot of people in some discussions I got into earlier on Twitter saying, like, what's that even going to do? How's that going to help? The Heat aren't going to listen to that. And my response is always, what other option does he have right now? I mean, he's talked with the team. He's been seeking different doctors right. and people that would approve him for, these blood thinning regimens he would take a shot and it would be out of his system within by game time and all this. He's been looking at all and examining all of his options, and now it's just he thinks he can play. I mean, you look at these quotes and you hear what he's saying and you see what he's doing on social media. He thinks he can play. And the only option he has, if the Heat aren't communicating with him or at least giving him a timetable or anything, what else does he have? He has to drum up the fan support. And unfortunately for Chris, it looks like it might be working the opposite way. People might be turning on him now, which I just don't get. I mean, it's hard to say put yourself in Bosch's shoes, but if we even try, I can't even imagine how frustrating it is. And just put aside whether or not you believe it's better for him or not. I've said a million times, I'm not a doctor. I have no idea how severe or what the threats are to his health if he plays, if he doesn't play. I don't know. And I don't even want to try to get into that. But if Bosch believes he could play, just imagine right. how frustrating that is for him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I alluded to that myself online. You know, it's ultimately his choice. And he seems to have his family's backing one way or the other. And, you know, I know some people have turned this very negatively in a very misogynistic way every time Adrian Bosch tweet something in support of her husband resuming his playing career. They're like, oh, she just wants the money, this and that. It's like, no, I don't think that's the case. He's going to get paid regardless if he took the step down and retired. So as far as her financial future is concerned, not that it should even be an issue, that's already taken care of. So let's get that out of the way first and foremost. So he has her support. He has his family support. And, I mean, there's also the possibility that you can step out of your house every day and die. I mean, because you get into a car accident, because a plane falls out of the sky, because you get struck by lightning. It's you know, sure, you might be increasing those odds somewhat if you had a history of blood clots and you have the medical issues that he does. But if he's gotten some clearance and he believes personally that he can play and he has his family support, he wants to go back out there and do it, I don't think that we should hold that against them. And I think a lot of people seem to want to believe that the team is doing this for altruistic purposes, and I don't buy it. I don't think that's the case anymore. Maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I thought that was the case. Now, I'm not so sure. And I'm a little less inclined to think that Riley and the team are doing it to protect Bosch and not their own interests.
I think we need to kind of recap like a lot of this, because when Bosch was originally trying to get back on the court, You know, we wondered if it was even possible, and we wondered how long of a process it would be, or even if he should, right? Like, you and I talked about, you know, I think you and I both said that we think that Bosch should retire. A few months ago, we said that. And, you know, I think you and I, and it sounds like from what you're just saying now, we both kind of flipped over saying, if Bosch thinks and believes and wants to play, he should be able to play. And sure. And that's up, and ultimately, you're right, it's his decision. It's like, who are we to say he shouldn't play? It's unsafe for him to play. Like, that's not our decision to make. And then, you know, I think that these conspiracy theories about Adrian Bosch wanting just the, you know, insurance money, which is just completely ridiculous and just outright insane.
And, can I add something to that point real quick? Yeah, you know, we're talking about his decision and his right to choose, et cetera. And we can't discount the fact that this, you know, then this is also adding to a whole separate stream of conspiracy theories, that he's recording this with Maverick Carter, who's a trusted friend of LeBron James. And if there's anything that we know about James, it's that he's always sought to recover some of the lost power that he has as an individual playing in the NBA. A lot of the power in the league belongs to the ownership, the franchise, the association, et cetera. They're the ones that make the decision and ultimately make the most money. Although the players themselves are the public persona, the face of the franchises, they're not necessarily the ones with the most power. And he's always been about seeking as much power. And it worked against him for a lot of Heat fans in 2014 when he sought to regain that power, when he sought to separate himself from Riley's controlling hand and kind of have more control over how a franchise was run. And that's why, you know, allegedly or reportedly, he went back to Cleveland to regain some of that power. So I think when we're looking at Bosch's association with that, a lot of people will look, oh, there's LeBron's dark hand kind of steering this whole process. But maybe there's some of that, but there's also the fact that, you know, LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade wants to, you know, regain some of the power as individuals. They want to have a say in how their futures are managed, not just from a personal perspective, but from a professional one. And they don't often have that choice to do so.
Which is ultimately, I believe, why he teams up with Maverick Carter.
Sure.
Who has, you know, been the guy who's really led and helped LeBron James take his own career in his own hands as well. He plays a huge role in that. And so I think, all in all, you know, when to go back to that previous question about, is Bosch just doing this to drum up the fan support? I also think that there is a certain amount of There's almost a little bit of a victory to this. It's not he's not quite past the finish line, and you could tell, like, there's consistently mentions of, okay, now I just gotta get medically cleared to play.
Right.
But I mean he says in the documentary, I know inside me I have a lot of talent and a lot of ability. I have it. I know I have it. It wasn't a matter of if I'm going to play again. It's when. So we took the bull by the horns, and that's how he ends the documentary, and that's over videos of him working out in a gym. There is already a victory here, right? Bosch has come back from the 2 blood clot scares to get back on the court playing basketball, you know, at least practicing at a high level. And so there's all that. And I do think that if you pair that with Barry Jackson's earlier report that he believed that he was going to get medically clear this week, and it's Wednesday. I mean, I don't know. By the time we record this or you hear this, you know, maybe there is some more news on that front. But he hasn't been cleared to play yet. But there's still time to get cleared to play, even though training camp is starting next week. There's still a couple more days. I wonder if, you know, I don't think this whole documentary was entirely just a jump of support. I think that Bosch genuinely wanted to share his story. And I think if you looked at that Q&A specifically about how they talked about the creative aspect of it, there was definitely some, you know, Bosch was definitely proud of what he was able to do. He mentioned how he directed and produced it. I mean, I think there's some pride there. So I think that's important. I don't, when we talk about those 7 minutes or that 7 minute documentary, the quotes that we're pulling out of it and what I'm writing for allyoucanheat.com, that's like the last 45 seconds of it, right? For the first about 5.5 minutes of it, it's really just about his recovery and kind of chronicling that story and the scary parts of it and the parts where he was able to recover and get back on the court and how he made the All-Star team last year. And all right. That. And I think he wants to share that part. So it wasn't just 6.5 minutes of bashing the Miami Heat. It was really mostly about his success getting back on the court and how he aims to do that again, right?
And I mean, and this is only the first part of a series, right? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if they specified exactly how many parts there'll be, but I mean, there's several parts of the story, and it's an ongoing one because, as you pointed out, there's no resolution as of yet. There might be one soon, but we don't know exactly how it's going to work out. I think there won't be any until either he gets cleared or, you know, a possibility that I believe is likely to happen is that he's forcing a separation from the team. I think if the video does build the kind of support that you believe, and I believe it does, you know, from the public, although some people have turned on Bosch a little bit because that's just the way they tend to side. And when it comes to labor agreements in sports or arguments in sports, they tend to side on ownership's part for some reason. They tend to think that players are the selfish ones or the ones that are, you know, stopping play because of their own selfish needs, et cetera. But that's neither here nor there. That's for a lot more lengthy discussion. Well, I totally lost my train of thought there.
Well, no, I mean, I think the point is we need to try to see Bosch's angle here. And I can't believe how many people are siding against Chris Bosch and siding with the organization. And it's not to say that the organization is wrong. They definitely have a right and almost a duty to make sure that the people that work for that team are safe, right? I understand that in the day and age that we live in, you're either on one side or the other. Like, I get that. Like, I get the polarizing aspect of this. But it is possible to take both sides. It's possible to empathize with Chris Bosch as well as to empathize with the organization. The organization is in a position where they don't want to put their employees at risk. And Chris Bosch is in a situation where he believes that he can play, even if there is a little bit of a risk that he's willing to take. And that's really, really hard to come. It's really hard to come to an agreement there. Still, you hope that they can come to some sort of solution. And I just don't think that a lot of people are saying that, you know, this is going to end up with Bosch, you know, getting bought out or traded. And to that, I want to just say nobody is trading for Chris Bosch in this situation. It's just not going to happen.
Wait, you really don't think so? You don't think that at this point in his career, because of the health scare, the potential that it'll be a problem in the future?
I don't think anybody trades for him, no. Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
I think Anthony Chang of the Palm Beach Post had a good – he talked with a doctor. He published this today, Wednesday morning, I believe. Talked with a doctor about the process. I think this doctor worked with the hockey player. I'm not exactly sure. It was the hockey player that has Bosch's situation.
Oh, right. Yeah, I
see. And talked about the whole process about how you have to monitor the blood thinning shots that go into the system, how you have to get that within 24 hours, he even said. In some cases, you want to get that within 24 hours of a game, and then you know, Bosch has to, you know, or the hockey player wears this like specialized rubber compression suit or something when he's on planes and all this stuff, and how it just demands so much attention, how you have to take the right dosage. You can't take too little, you can't take too less. Or you risk an injury on in some way. It seems like a really complicated to do process. A situation where it almost seemed like the Heat would have to hire somebody just to deal with Chris Bosch, and it's complicated, and it's so complicated that I just don't see any team looking at Chris Bosch and saying, number one, I have no idea how many games we're going to get out of this guy. He's getting paid upwards of $20 million a season. Well, if he's healthy, he's really good, but we have no idea if he can get on the court. Plus, what owner, knowing what Mickey Arison is dealing with now, from even just a legal aspect, what owner is going to sign off on a trade for Chris Bosch? I mean, sure, a head coach might want Chris Bosch. Some players on a team might want to play with Chris Bosch. Even a general manager might look at Chris Bosch and be like, I could steal this guy for like a second-round pick from the Heat if they're just trying to dump him. But there is not an owner in the NBA, I believe, that is going to look at Chris Bosch's situation and say, yeah, I'm signing off on a trade for that guy.
Okay. All right. I mean, I had assumed that, you know, if maybe, let's say, because the thing is now, even if he does receive clearance, I'm not so sure that he wants to continue working and playing for the Miami Heat. And that might be a situation too. Maybe he just feels like there's a lack of trust there, and maybe that ties in together with the whole partnering with Maverick Carter and everything else, where they want to separate themselves from Miami and have more, you know, individual control over their futures and stuff like that. So if he's healthy, maybe he might try to force his way off the team anyway. I mean, that seems to be a possibility. You're right. There are always going to be doubts from another team's perspective as to whether or not, you know, he'll continue to live up to his, you know, rather lucrative contract. But it's a tricky situation. And, you know, I'm looking right now, actually, and I'm noticing that he actually was able to continue that Q&A somewhat on Facebook.
Okay.
And he did comment on this upcoming season. He finished up with a statement saying, "We're going to have a great season, and I can't wait to get back out there in the court." He apparently even, you know, asked about Hassan Whiteside, and he answered that he thinks it's obvious he's a really, really good player and that he has, you know, potential upside, huge potential upside. So, I mean, he's clearly looking ahead to the future here. But, you know, if a trade doesn't seem liable at this point, and let's say that he ultimately come back and say, "We're not going to give you the clearance," what's the next step in the process? And I wish that we had more of a legal and medical background at this point to kind of say, you know, how he could, you know, work this into the NBA, the NBA Players Association, because I think that then that's the next step. Then
yeah.
I think he, together with the association, files a grievance against the Miami Heat to the league and says, look, they're actively preventing him from being able to play. It's not just about the money, because, again, you know, as you pointed out on a number of occasions, he'll get his money. If he elects to retire, he'll get picked. That's not the issue. But he wants to play, and he may or may not want to play for the Heat, but he wants to continue playing. And if the Heat prevents him from doing so, he can file a grievance. And then that's when it starts to get really ugly and contentious. And I don't think anybody wants to see it get to that point. But that might be where the aim of the video, as far as building public relations support and everything else, that might be where he kind of, you know, will win out in that situation. Because, you know, from his perspective, he can get people to say he's healthy. He just wants to go out there and play. And he's just left there standing going, you know, "Why can't I play? Why are you keeping me from playing?" And this is where I think people will start to turn against the team somewhat.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. If the Heat keep blocking Chris Bosh from playing, I think you're absolutely right that the next step is taking it to the Players Association and it becoming a legal issue. I think that's certainly the next step. A lot of people point to the medical retirement thing that the Heat could apply for if Bosh doesn't play within a year. But again, that involves the Heat and Chris Bosh agreeing to a medical professional the NBA Player Association appointing a medical professional that says Chris Bosh cannot safely play basketball. And there's just no way that happens. There's no way that the NBAPA agrees to appoint a doctor who's going to say that. They're not going to do that. So I just, that whole, you know, for a long time there, that was believed to be, like, you know, the out that the Miami Heat have. And I just don't see that being there for Miami. I just don't see that as a realistic option. The other option that they could have is a buyout. But for that to happen, Chris Bosh has to agree to a buyout. And one thing that Bosh has right now is a contract. I don't see him, you know, he has a contract to play basketball. If the Heat want him to play, all it takes is letting him through the door. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And if Bosh for some reason agrees to a buyout, yes, he still gets his money. But at the same time, now he needs to find somebody to sign him. He needs to find a new team to play for. And for the same reasons that we've been talking about, and just for how complicated of a situation this is, I don't know how many teams are going to be willing to sign Chris Bosh and the headache that comes with Chris Bosh and this situation. So I just don't see Bosh agreeing to a buyout. So I think if Chris Bosh is going to get cleared, I do think he plays for the Heat, even if he wants to and doesn't want to play, you know, for the Heat, regardless of how that relationship is right now. It might be Bosh's only situation where he can get on the court. And if it's, and I do believe this, that the most important thing for Chris Bosh is not playing for the Heat. The most important thing for Chris Bosh is just playing basketball. The Heat are going to be his best option to do that.
It's a pretty difficult situation, and I think, as we talked about before, there's no right or wrong one here. I think we just all want to see some kind of a resolution, and we're just not sure exactly how it's going to play out. I mean, I guess maybe that should be something we should try to do then. You know, let's project, even though we're just a few days away from the start of camp, where do you think this winds up resolved, or how do you think this winds up being resolved? Do you think he winds up playing? Do you think he gets that clearance? Do you think these videos and public relations efforts, you know, force Miami's hand? It doesn't seem like they're that pliable, but at the same time, I mean, maybe they want him on the court and they're willing to take a chance. You know, there's always that opportunity for them, as we've talked before, where he could play nine games and maybe something happens during that time frame that shows that he's not able to play at this level anymore. And maybe he'll be forced into retirement, but I'm not sure exactly how – I don't know exactly how it's all going to play out. Do you have an option at this point?
Ultimately, I'm optimistic. I think that unlike the Dwayne Wade situation that really stemmed, I think, from Pat Riley, I think this is different in that it stems up higher than Pat Riley. I think this goes up higher than Pat Riley because, like I said earlier, all the evidence we have about Riley is that if he can have a good player on the roster, he's going to have a good player on the roster. I don't think this is a situation that he's trying to block Bosch from playing, Riley specifically. That's just what I believe. I have no evidence to that fact. That's just an educated guess based on our history with Pat Riley. That said, I do think that if it is just one person at the top, maybe it's Mickey Arison, right, that's saying I'm not comfortable yet with Chris Bosch playing, then there's enough people, I think, in that organization maybe that Chris Bosch gets back on the court. I'm optimistic there's enough people on Bosch that want Bosch to play that Bosch gets back on the court. I don't think that we're ever going to see Chris Bosch play 80 games in a season. I think that he's the best case scenario for Bosch is that he plays home games, he doesn't play in back-to-backs, and he doesn't go on 3- and 4- game road trips. I just don't, or even West Coast trips. He might not even be on West Coast trips because it's just from what I'm reading and everything, the biggest threat is when, you know, you're sitting on an airplane for 6, 7, 8 hours, not moving. And if you're stagnant like that, that's when the blood clots can develop. So maybe that eliminates those 5- and 6-hour plane rides to the West Coast, you know? So, but he might be able to still travel on the East Coast. So that's what I think. It's going to be this weird maintenance type of program, but Bosch is a good enough player where he can still make a difference for the Heat, even if he's just playing, you know, 40 games a season, but those 40 games are not just the first 40 games. Those 40 games are spread out through the 82-game regular season, and then he's playing in the playoffs. So when there are no back-to-backs, he's playing in every home game, and you're only playing East Coast teams, you know, in the Eastern Conference, so that, you know, Bosch should be able to play in the playoffs. That's my optimistic view. I do think Bosch gets back on the court, but again, I tend to be optimistic with these things, so...
I'm just seeing more vitriol directed at Chris Bosch online, and it's just an eye opener for me. I'm not sure exactly how to take it. I mean, like a lot
shame.
Of people.
I mean, I can't believe that fans are. It really it's disheartening. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm curious. You know, for all our listeners, let us know how you feel about the Bosch situation. Do you side one way or the other? We want to hear from you whether or not you think Bosch is misplaying this, whether or not it's the team at fault, whether or not they're doing this for some kind of dark purpose or ulterior purpose. We're not sure exactly at this point, but we want to hear from you because it's something that I'm curious about on a personal level. And I'm not sure I wonder if there's an even split or if a lot of more people are tending to side with the team at this point. But yeah, a lot of people see LeBron's involvement as a negative thing. I guess Dan Le Batard may have made some comments about it as well on his national show today. And it's building towards a head with just a few days left before training camp, which is a rather unfortunate start to the whole business. But we'll see how it progresses. I'm sure we'll have more news for you over the next couple of days as well.
Yeah. And email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com or tweet your reactions to LockedOnHeat on Twitter. I like that idea a lot, David. Let's try to do maybe like a Chris Bosch themed mailbag or, you know, reaction type pod to listener emails and tweets to us next week. So send those in to lockedonheat@gmail.com, your Chris Bosch questions or reactions, and we'll get to that next week. We'll base a whole podcast around it. All right, well, that's all we got for today. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, thank you for listening. Get in touch with the show on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or by email, where you can send us mailbag questions, inquire about advertising, or just say hi. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. This has been an Immediate Reaction podcast, a bonus pod for the week. Thanks for joining me, David.
Take care, Wes.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.